It's time for overtime.
I think I'm ready for this.
Heck yeah.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
It's in the left center field. That's hit well. That'll split the gap.
Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
It's hour number two on a Monday. Overtime continuing right now. Still to come this hour, NFL draft breakdown. Vikings, Packers, best picks, worst picks, reaches, and undrafted free agency. Everything on the table with our friend Ryan Roberts of A to Z Sports NFL. He joins us in about 20 minutes. And then at the end of the show, we like to save it. We like to stash it with the good, the bad, and the ugly. Is your lawn looking bad and ugly? I know mine is. And Lewis Drug, Lewis Lawn and Garden, your place to go right now. The good, the bad, and the ugly brought to you by Lewis Drug. This rain will help, but you need an assist to make your lawn look great. And Lewis is your one-stop shop. Still to come on this show, again, good, bad, the ugly NFL draft recap. Let's get into your scorecard from over the weekend. Rewind to Saturday, where Minnesota seized momentum, seized control of the series against Denver. It's not over yet, because it wasn't all sunshine and rainbows for Minnesota. They beat up the Nuggets 112-96. Iota Sunmo special, 43 points off the bench. But Minnesota loses Dante DiVincenzo for the season, torn Achilles, and probably the bulk of next year for Dante DiVincenzo. And they also lose Anthony Edwards. Hyperextended knee, apparently the knee ligament-wise is intact. And we'll wait and see when he can be back, but he's likely to be out for the rest of this series, maybe some of next series, if Minnesota finds a way to beat Denver and finish the job. Evan Cohen talking about Nikola Jokic not being criticized enough for a sluggish start in round number one for the Nuggets.
I'm glad we don't critique him the way we critique other superstars, because it puts in perspective how overly critical we are of others. Mm-hmm. But if you think about it, we critique every quarterback in the NFL more than we critique Jokic. We critique other players that are deemed to be his peers in the NBA more than we critique him. If you just think about other stars in sports that would be at his level, which is top 1% of their sport, every single one of them is critiqued more than Jokic. Well, and I'm happy we don't critique him, but if they lose this series and they lose game five without Ant-Man, that's a whole different conversation.
And I'll tell you honestly, too, Jokic has been a big reason why not being able to get around, over, or through Rudy Gobert. Jokic has probably had one of the worst playoff series he's ever had, especially through the first four games here. Denver needs him to be a lot better. The shots need to fall. The defense needs to get better wholesale for the Nuggets team. They're down 3-1 to Minnesota, but the good news from a Denver perspective is it's not going to be the same team moving forward. It'll be no Anthony Edwards, no DiVincenzo for the remainder of the series at minimum for Minnesota. Game number five on the way in that series tonight from Denver, 9:30 on NBC. More on that in a moment. Yesterday, four games went down. Toronto equalized the series with Cleveland with a 93-89 home win. That series tied 2-2. San Antonio gets Wemby back and no problem. Nice effort from Wemby, 27 points, 12 rebounds. Bunch of steals, bunch of blocks, and Wemby and the Spurs win in Portland 114-93. Spurs lead there 3-1. Boston leads 3-1. Nice game for Jason Tatum. 30 points, 7 rebounds, 11 assists as Boston beats up Philly 128-96 on the road. And then the Lakers had come to play. 3-0 series lead against Houston. It's now 3-1. They lose 115-96 last night. Here's J.J. Redick on the offensive struggles that plagued his team.
Again, I mean, this is a top 10 defense the entire season. You know, it's obviously very challenging without your two leading scorers to generate offense. I think we'll take a look at the process again on that end as well. And I know our points per shot and our expected points per shot were slightly below our season average. So there, you know, to me, again, it goes back to the two keys: take care of the ball, and we'll look at that and how we can be better there.
J.J. Redick and the Lakers taking their first loss of the postseason to Houston, again, 115-96. Evan Cohen, not really much of a fan of Kevin Durant in Houston. He says, I'm not sure how much longer that lasts.
I do not believe Kevin Durant plays another game in his career with the Houston Rockets. He will not ask out but I think it will be so obvious to both parties. We tried this. No bad blood. We move on. Kevin Durant with a group of young players as the old veteran who has to do a lot of it doesn't make sense at this point in his career. Kevin Durant makes sense joining a team with his peers to try to win it all. Now, if you tell me Giannis is there, that would be his peer. But I think it's much easier to get Giannis and keep the players they want to keep if Kevin Durant goes out in a three-way deal, if hypothetically that happens. I don't personally believe Kevin Durant plays another game in his career for the Houston Rockets.
There you have it. That's one team facing quite a lot of turnover. The other is the New York Knicks, potentially this offseason. Tonight in the NBA, Pistons at Magic, 7 o'clock on NBC. Thunder at Suns, 8:30 on NBC Sports Network. And T-Wolves and Nuggets collide in Denver, Ball Arena, 9:30 on NBC. And Denver favored by 11.5 points. Yesterday in the Stanley Cup playoffs, actually starting Saturday, Minnesota won in overtime to not the series with Dallas 3-2. Game number 5 on the way coming up later on this week. Yesterday we saw Buffalo obliterate Boston 6-1. Sabres hold a 3-1 lead in that series. Colorado won their series yesterday, 5-1 victory over the Kings in LA. They sweep away the Kings with a 4-0 victory in the first round series. Tampa over Montreal 3-2. And then in the stunner, you need to see it to believe it the way it ended between Anaheim and Edmonton, but the Ducks get a game-winning goal. But was it a goal? That is certainly a difference of opinion. With every single person you talk to, goal, no goal, should it have counted? Should they have reviewed it longer? A lot up for debate there, but it is over. Anaheim, 4-3 victory in overtime, and they lead that series stunningly 3-1. Tonight, we'll see just 2 games in the NHL. Flyers at Penguins, 6 o'clock on ESPN. Golden Knights at Mammoth, 8:30 on ESPN tonight. And another big first on the NASCAR circuit. Recently saw a first career victory in recent memory for a different racer. And it was Carson Hocevar who notched his first ever victory at Talladega yesterday. He was celebrating so hard, driving his car from seating on the window and ran it into the wall. Look it up if you don't believe me. Carson Hocevar, polarizing young driver on the NASCAR circuit. First career win at Talladega. Next up there, the race at Texas. 2:30 on Fox Sports 1. And the NFL draft. The Kansas City Chiefs, by many accounts, were a big winner in the draft. I really like what they did early on. And also, am a fan of the quarterback. They added in round number 7. One of the big fallers was Garrett Nussmeier. Courtney Cronin talking about his starting chances early on this year while Patrick Mahomes works his way back onto the football field.
Justin Fields is what he is at this point of his career. It's no knock on him, but the league has told us how they feel about him, that he's a backup quarterback with a ceiling. Garrett Nussmeier, when healthy, is still an unknown. Back in 2024, the reason that he was projected to be such a high draft pick at one point is because he put up those incredible numbers and that awesome offense at LSU upon taking over for Jaden Daniels, and we thought the sky was the limit for him. You have a better runway to getting onto the field as a backup for however long, and we don't know if Mahomes is going to be out week one or what the status is, but I think it's probably the best landing spot of any of the non-first-round quarterbacks, of guys that will have a chance to not just develop, but also a realistic shot to start.
It's a pretty good landing spot for Garrett Nussmeier, especially for somebody that had to wait until round number 7. Some would say earliest he would go would be round 2, round 3. Nussmeier waits all the way till the very final round on Saturday afternoon to get the call from Kansas City. Well, Pittsburgh is still waiting on a call from Aaron Rodgers, although it's probably smoke signals or telepathy or something funky he's communicating with them. Mike Tomlin says he feels pretty darn good Rodgers will be back in Pittsburgh.
Man, if you got a gun to my head, I'd say it's AR. I just think, Aaron, I just think being around him for the 12 months that I'm around him, he got a love affair with the game of football. And not only the game, but the process. The informal moments, the development of younger guys, the interaction with teammates. I think he has an addiction to that, and there's only one way to feed it. And certainly, he is still capable and in really good shape. And so I think at the end of the day, he'll play football.
And if you look at the way that the draft was structured for Pittsburgh, he's in their plans. They took a quarterback, Penn State quarterback Drew Aller, in the middle of round number 3. But everything else was kind of service to Rodgers and the now in Pittsburgh. I like what they did. They really, frankly, got a lot better offensively. The defense needs quite a bit of work, too. It's undersold the regression Pittsburgh made on the defensive side, but they added 2 starting offensive linemen, Maxi Anacher and Jennings Dunker. Should have been a Packer, but lands in Pittsburgh. They also get a pair of wide receivers, one of which will play wide out, Jeremy Bernard. The other receiver coming from Iowa, Caden Wiegen, is an absolute special teams ace, dynamo, unbelievable playmaker. Might have something offensively. I'm not knocking the young man, but he's going to be an amazing special teamer in the NFL. They also added cornerback Dalen Everett, wide receiver, tight end, fullback Riley Nowakowski, the most Steeler last name ever. And then also added the story of draft day. If you watched it on Saturday, I hope you caught me last week when I was telling you, can't miss playmaker, hell of a story, Eli Heidenreich, the running back, wide receiver, pass catcher, Christian McCaffrey measurable clone from the Naval Academy. They gave him his due and then some on the ABC telecast. I was watching, unbelievable stuff, drafted by his hometown team out of the Naval Academy, Eli Heidenreich, a seventh round pick, and could very well slot into that role vacated in that backfield by Kenneth Gainwell this last year, who had a great year with Aaron Rodgers. Heidenreich could plug and play there as a third round situational gadget guy. Gotta have it, gotta need it. I really like that whole draft class for Pittsburgh. I think they did a very nice job. Damian Woody, not really a fan of how the Rams operated in round number one. It's a mixed bag of opinion there. Woody saying, what are Rams players thinking after the team spent their first round pick in the top 15 on a quarterback they can't use or need this year?
I think he is all in on the Ty Simpson pick, but I think the thing that bothers me, if I'm a veteran in that locker room, I'm like, what the hell can this guy do to help us win a Super Bowl this year? Like, I would really be bothered by that because the Rams are my favorite going into the 2026 season. To be the Super Bowl favorite, obviously the game is being played in Los Angeles. But I don't give a damn about 27 and years beyond that. Like, I want guys that can help affect us right now. And so I get it. The fact that you probably not going to be picking that high again. You got an opportunity to pick a quarterback that, you know, will be post Matthew Stafford, but I don't like it.
More from Damian Woody here on a team that he might not like drafting a quarterback. The New York Jets did spend a middle round pick on Cade Klubnik, a player from Clemson they traded up for. Here's Woody on that selection.
The ideal situation, Geno plays well. They draft their future quarterback in the 27 draft. He doesn't play. Geno continues to play because, quite honestly, that's what's really failed the Jets over the years. They draft these guys, whether it's Sam Darnold, Zach Wilson, those guys. Then they thrust them in right in the mix when they're not ready and the roster's not ready. And then they ruin those guys. I think you see a totally different scenario potentially with the Jets this go around. So I like the way that they're heading as an organization.
And that is all for now from the National Football League. Minnesota Twins baseball swept over the weekend by Tampa. They lose yesterday 4-2. Another rough outing for Simeon Woods Richardson. He falls to 0-4 with a 6.30 ERA. Minnesota now 12-16. Other finals yesterday, notables from the AL Central. Cleveland lost in Toronto 4-2. It was Detroit beating Cincinnati 8-3. White Sox fall to Washington 2-1 in extras. And then Kansas City picks up a 10-inning victory over the Angels 11-9. Kansas City 11-17. Mariners and Twins start a series from Target Field 6:40 this evening. Weather permitting, of course. 6 o'clock pregame coverage on Fox Sports 1. And, of course, right here on the Treasure Island Baseball Network. Quick foray into your ReliaBank headlines of the day. Hour number 2. And we're going to dive in to the landing spots for our local talent. Sioux Falls native Tucker Larch has signed a undrafted free agent contract with the Philadelphia Eagles, joining fellow Sioux Falls native Cooper DeJean in that secondary. That's a pretty darn cool story. Elsewhere, USD quarterback Aiden Bauman has been invited to the Green Bay Packers rookie minicamp. That's a big opportunity for Bauman as the Packers look to solidify their backup quarterback plans. QB2, QB3, practice squad all on the table for Aiden Bauman as nobody has knotted it up. Green Bay did not draft a quarterback, so it's Kyle McCord, Kyron Drones, as well as Desmond Ridder, and Aiden Bauman entering the conversation for the Green Bay Packers options at backup quarterback. And how about backup quarterback in South Beach, Miami? The Dolphins signed Malik Willis to be their starting quarterback this season. After the conclusion of the draft, the Dolphins also added a potential backup for Willis in South Dakota State and Iowa alum Mark Gronowski. Gronowski captured 49 of his record 58 wins in college at the FCS level, two-time national championship winner at South Dakota State. During 2025, this past season, Gronowski transferred to Iowa, had a pretty darn nice season. 9-4 record, 10 touchdowns against 7 picks, and also ran for 16 touchdowns. Mark Gronkowski, NFL opportunity in Miami. Aiden Bauman's NFL opportunity, first opportunity for these guys. Going to be in Green Bay. Sam Hagan, offensive lineman from Fordville, North Dakota, UND alum, SDSU Jackrabbit alum. Sam Hagan has landed an undrafted free agent opportunity with the Houston Texans. We also got more local talent on the move. We'll dive into that as we move forward on this Monday edition of Overtime. When we come back, we're going to dive in and get a unbiased, unregional opinion on the Packers and Vikings. What did Minnesota do well in the NFL draft? How about Dominique Orange and Jake Golday? Let's dive deeper on those prospects. Also, the Green Bay Packers, some opinion of Ryan Roberts of A to Z Sports NFL coming up next as we continue to break down a wild and wonderful weekend in the sports world. Our recap of the NFL draft with Ryan Roberts coming up next on a Monday edition of Overtime on your Sioux Falls Sports Leader. It's ESPN 102.3 AM 1000. KSOO.
Eight. Overtime is in the middle of your workday. Unwrap your sandwich and get caught up with Bert Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
The NFL draft is officially in the rearview mirror, but certainly a lot of opinion and a lot of fact to sift through here as we get going on this Monday, April 27th edition of Overtime, talking Pittsburgh draft, winners, losers, Vikings, Packers, and UDFA, and more with Ryan Roberts of A to Z Sports NFL. Ryan joins us on the ESPN hotline. Welcome back to the show, my friend. How you doing this week?
I'm good, man. I'm good. It's actually my favorite time a little bit because now all the work is done. We got the results and we just kind of get to talk about it and evaluate fits. So I appreciate you for having me on.
Hey, certainly it's a great time, especially if you're a nerd like me. I love undrafted free agency and refreshing the team sites and seeing exactly what diamonds in the rough teams are getting post-draft. We'll talk about my Packers and about a lot of listeners, Minnesota Vikings, with you here in a moment, Ryan. But give me your take on Pittsburgh as a draft city. Roughly 800,000 people came out and witnessed the draft. What did you make of this year's pomp and circumstance there in Pittsburgh?
I love the spectacle of it, and I love the fact that they get so many people, different people involved, and especially like the early day three kind of craze of just letting a bunch of random people announce picks, which is pretty cool, you know? So I loved kind of that that feel. We did have one guy from A to Z that was out there, and they said it was really nice, and people were happy, which is good. You know, I feel like sometimes we get into big crowds and people get really upset about things, but it was a great event. I mean, it is a great event. I'm obviously a draft Nick, I guess, and, you know, that's one of my favorite times of the year. So it was nice to see a good crowd, and it was also a very chaotic three days of just kind of madness in terms of some things that we perceive to be reaches and values and you know, all the minutiae that goes into these draft slots.
And certainly there's a lot to debate, a lot to talk about. Ryan, there's a lot of draft grades. Everybody's got an article out. Who are your big winners this year in the NFL draft? If you had to pick one, tell me who that is, and you can dive into a few others, but who is your undisputed champ of the 2026 NFL draft today?
It's the Carolina Panthers. They were actually the only team that I had graded out as a team that got value in every spot. In the context of, like, Monroe Freeling went 19th overall. He was my 21st ranked player, so some people would say technically he did not hit the value, but, like, that's negligible at that point, right? So, like, he was right in that range. But you just went down the board and even going to, like, the fifth round where they got a guy like Zakee Wheatley out of Penn State. Again, that was just hit after hit after hit. So I know there's some questions in terms of, like, if Bryce Young is the long-term guy, and I know there's contract stuff that's going to come up here pretty soon, but they did a really good job, Dan Morgan, in that front office of, I think, finding value throughout the draft. I mean, even a guy like Jackson Kuwach out of Miami, Ohio, was one of my favorite sleepers of this class. They pulled in the seventh round. So they were one of those teams where I think every single pick, especially after day three range, I had a value of like a round to a round and a half of value. So like they were picking guys in the seventh round that I had rated in the fifth. There were guys in the fifth that I had rated in the third. So they found value everywhere. And I really think that if they they continue to build that foundation and continue to build that roster, and Bryce Young can be the guy, the Carolina Panthers just got a whole lot better and a lot more foundationally sound, I think, this past week.
So that's a big winner, Carolina. As for a team or two that may have had you screaming at your TV, what are you doing? What teams come to mind in that regard for you, Ryan?
I mean, unfortunately, Pittsburgh is one of them. Which was, you know, it was a home field advantage, I guess. But they didn't put it to their advantage. I don't know. They left me kind of just wanting a whole lot more in several different spots in that draft. But I think the big loser, we're going to call it that, the underwhelming team, maybe to be a little bit nicer, is the Jacksonville Jaguars. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been a hot topic of conversation, of consensus boards and all that type of stuff. I don't really care about the consensus board too much. I think it's a cool tool, but, like, I'm just going off of my board and, like, the Burkature pick and taking a couple other guys in that day two range had me just kind of, I just didn't really know what they were trying to accomplish. Mm-hmm. Outside of getting Emmanuel Pregnon in the third round, which I thought was a great value at 88, I mean, they drafted a player in the top 100. The three picks was Albert Regis was my 250th ranked player they drafted in the top 100. They Burkature was like my 209, and then the safety Jalen Husky out of Maryland. It wasn't even in my top 250. So, like, they got just, according to my board, like, I think that they had very bad reaches in the day two range, and I don't think that it got a ton better on day three. So, like, that was a class where we're going to look back on it in a few years and say either James Gladstone is a genius and he was ahead of the curve on a couple of these guys, or most other people were probably right and they just did a pretty poor job evaluating top 100 picks in this class.
Ryan Roberts of A to Z Sports NFL is our guest. You can find him on Twitter at Rise in Draft. Ryan, let's talk about quarterback. It's the game's most important position. Everybody loves Mendoza to the Raiders. Most people do. Ty Simpson to the Rams. But the middle round guys, Beck, Aller, Klubnik, Cole Payton of NDSU going to the Eagles. Talen Green, Ethan Kaliak-Manis might not have been draftable on some boards. He goes to Washington. Did you have a favorite draft pick of the other guys outside of Simpson and Mendoza at the quarterback position?
Yeah, it was probably Payton to the Eagles a little bit later. That was actually my quarterback three, but, like, to demonstrate what this class was, it was two guys that were going to be drafted somewhat early. You know, you knew that Mendoza would go number one, and then you thought Simpson was either going to go first round to early second round, somewhere in that range. And then after that, like, I didn't think any quarterback deserved to go in the top 100. So you're talking about day three players at that point. But I thought he had probably the most upside left of all the quarterbacks, because I know some people would argue, like, Talen Green that went to Cleveland, but Talen Green has played a whole lot of football. So I would actually argue that we kind of know a lot more about him than most. Cole Payton's the real enigma of the class, because he's a one-year starter on the FCS level, so he's making a huge jump, but he had really good production this past year, and he also is a kid that has legit explosiveness and athleticism, ran in the 4.5, so the 40-inch vert, and he has some traits as a passer that kind of get you excited. So that's a player where I say he's not going to come in and play, like most of those guys aren't going to come in and play, probably year one. But I do think that, you know, with the situation developing behind Jalen Hurts, one, you know, what's long-term with Jalen Hurts? Because I know I live right outside of Philadelphia, and I can tell you that the minute something doesn't go great, people get upset and things happen, right? Like, it always happens. And even if that doesn't happen, I still think that he's a pretty fun developmental guy where if he develops for a year or two under the Philadelphia staff, maybe he's a guy that's shopped for a future pick to a team that needs a quarterback to potentially eventually be their starter. Who knows? So I think that he's probably the most interesting guy. I still have a soft spot for Klubnik as, like, a developmental guy to a degree, but anytime someone's drafted by the New York Jets, I just can't really get that excited about it. So I'll probably go with Cole Payton to the Philadelphia Eagles.
Ryan Roberts of A to Z Sports NFL is our guest. Let's talk wide receiver. There were 9 receivers taken in round number 3. There were a zillion receivers taken in the NFL draft. Give me an under-the-radar receiver fit that you love this year, Ryan.
Well, I'm going to kind of cheat a little bit because I'm going to do a partial duo here, because I think the Cleveland Browns take Casey Concepcion at the end of the pick 24, and then they come back and they double dip with Denzel Boston out of Washington in the early second. And both of those players are imperfect for different reasons. Like, Casey is a dynamite after the catch guy, but he's got a smaller catch radius. He's had issues with drops in the past. Like, there were things about his game that definitely need to improve. Denzel Boston is the complete opposite. Like, he's the skyscraper outside who's the ball winner, but he's not a guy that is a great athlete, and he's not a great route runner. Like, he's just 6'3 plus and can win above the rim. So, but individually, I think that both those guys do have their inherent flaws. But together, I think it's a really intriguing duo because they are complete opposites, and I think that there is something to be said about diversity into a wide receiver room. So the fact that they are together actually gives me a lot of optimism that they're both going to work in the NFL, because now you have guys that do so many different things, and you're going to have to worry about them in terms of what type of alignment you use, and are you in reduced split? Are you playing them on the same side of the field? Like, there's a lot of things that you can do with that pairing that's super interesting. So I liked what Cleveland did in terms of not only taking KC, who I liked a lot at 24, I thought it was a good pick, but then also doubling down with a guy that's completely different than him early second round. I think the Cleveland wide receiver room certainly got a whole lot better this weekend.
Ryan, give me your take on the Vikings draft and the Packers draft. Minnesota, of course, their first round pick was a big risk at Caleb Banks. Talk to me about the entirety of their class. And then how about my Packers? How did they do?
Yeah, Minnesota is a slightly controversial take, I guess, because mm-hmm. I made a video, or at least during a recap video, where I don't understand exactly the ideology that Minnesota was trying to work with this draft season, because I love Caleb Banks, the talent, the D-tackle out of Florida, but pick 18 for a guy that's now had recurring issues with foot injuries when he's 325, 330 plus pounds. If anybody's followed like National Basketball League, right, or like the NBA, like mm-hmm. big men that get foot injuries, it usually doesn't work out that great, man. Like, that stuff usually recurs a whole lot. So I'm really worried about the Caleb Banks foot stuff. I just am. Like, generally speaking, I'm worried that he's ever going to be consistently available. And like, throughout the draft, like, I like the Dominic Orange pick that they had, but outside of that, I was like very underwhelmed. Like, I don't think they found a ton of value outside of like a couple day three picks that I think were solid values. And then obviously they traded Jonathan Grenard during the draft as well. And I thought they were going to get at least a early to mid second for him. And they got 2/3 and you know, 2027 pick or whatever. And you're like, okay, that's not horrible. But I just think that the whole strategy they had after getting rid of Kwezi and going to Rob Brzezinski as like their interim GM, I think it was a bad decision, one, to go into this process. And you had a few months to figure it out, but you decided to just go with the interim GM and not hire a new GM until after the draft. I thought that was a bad idea. I thought they would have got a little bit more for Grenard than they did, and I didn't love their draft overall. So, like, the whole process of, like, the last few days for them, I just did not mm-hmm. honestly love them at all. Green Bay was a little different because, like, Brandon Cisse in the second round, I think, is good value. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it is, because he's an imperfect player in terms of he needs to play more physical and a little bit more urgent, but he's a great athlete. So, like, there's things to count on there. And then, like, deny Dennis Sutton, I think, was a great fit in, like, the fourth round. And some people were down on Chris McClellan, the Missouri defense tackle, in the third round. I actually was fine with that. I valued him somewhere like that third, the fourth round range, so I was completely fine with that spot. So I think they did some really good things. It's just they obviously didn't have a ton of draft capital to pull from, right? So, like, you had some limited availability to get some players that I think are going to come in and contribute immediately. But I like some of the values they had. So I would just say just overall, like, I thought it was a solid draft. Like, I don't think it was great, but I think it was solid to good for the amount of capital that you did have at your disposal.
Six total selections for Green Bay matches their least ever in the NFL draft in the common era. Ryan Roberts of A to Z Sports NFL. Lastly, Ryan, undrafted free agency. You can tell me it's Diego Pavia or somebody else. What name and landing spot may have surprised you or excites you in the post-draft portion that we've entered now?
Yeah, there's some actually like really intriguing ones, but the one I'm actually writing an article right now about James Thompson Jr., the defensive tackle out of Illinois that was formerly Wisconsin. He landed with the San Francisco 49ers, and I think that that's a pretty interesting fit for him, because I was looking at like the depth chart for San Fran, and it's not horrible, but I do think that there's not easy depth in terms of like guys that are no-brainer going to make that team. So James Thompson Jr., I think, is like a really interesting guy to hopefully be able to come in there and potentially make a roster spot, and then, you know, year two, year three, you know, who knows? So James Thompson Jr., I think, is a really interesting one. And then I think Tyron Montgomery, the John Carroll kid, the D3 kid that was down at the Senior Bowl after going through the entire All-Star circuit, seemingly, he ends up with the Tennessee Titans, who the Titans obviously invested in Cornell Tate at number four, but like they still do need depth. Like they have Wandale Robinson now, which is good. They have a couple younger guys and Jim Dike and Alec Ayomanner, but I do think that you have still some needs in terms of depth. So I'm going to keep keeping close eyes this summer on Tyron Montgomery and if he's able to make any waves with the Tennessee Titans.
Great stuff as always in a one-stop shop, post-draft, pre-draft, year-round draft coverage, A-to-Z Sports.com. That is Ryan Roberts of A to Z Sports NFL. Ryan, always a blast to have you, my friend. We'll talk down the road. Thanks as always.
Absolutely, brother. Thank you so much for your time. Appreciate you.
Always great to talk ball. Ryan Roberts, you can find him on Twitter at RiseNDraft. And top-tier coverage there, A to Z Sports NFL, A to Z Sports.com. They got an NFL draft specified tab for all of your pre-draft, post-draft, in-draft drama breakdown at A to Z Sports NFL. Well, not too kind to the Minnesota Vikings, not too big of a fan of my Green Bay Packers, but certainly we all know this every year. It's a crapshoot. We anoint draft classes, and then in the season, we find out what draft classes are. To grade them immediately after doesn't make a lot of sense, but it certainly is fun to talk about and dream about for the Vikings, the Packers, the Steelers, and everyone else in between. Great stuff there. Ryan Roberts of A to Z Sports NFL on today's show. When we come back, we say so long to today's show with the good, the bad, and the ugly. That is next on Overtime on a Monday.
You want more of Overtime? It's all on the podcast. Free with the app or online at ESPN Sioux Falls. Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO.
Right back with you, set to round out and wrap up a fun Monday edition of Overtime. In case you missed it, we just got your end-all, be-all draft recap with Ryan Roberts of A to Z Sports NFL. We touched on the Vikings and the Packers, quarterback landing spots, sleeper wide receivers in Cleveland, and so much more. At the end of the show, podcast link will be available for you to download and listen at ESPNSiouxFalls.com, wherever you get your podcasts, or on the free ESPN Sioux Falls mobile app. It's time now to finish up the show with the good, the bad, and the ugly on a Monday.
Who's been the problem child today? Displayed their ugly side? Whined a bit too much and is now setting a bad example? Bert is calling out today's headline makers with the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Well, the good, the bad, the ugly is brought to you by Lewis Drug and your local one-stop shop for lawn and garden. Lewis Lawn and Garden this week at Lewis, only $17.99. Sunday Green Machine, 42.3-ounce lawn fertilizer. If your lawn is currently underwater or looking pretty darn rough, Lewis is your place to go. Lewis Lawn and Garden again. Lawn fertilizer, just $17.99 this week at your local Lewis Lawn and Garden Center. Good news first. The Minnesota Vikings are in the news. They've officially locked up Jordan Addison for next year. Minnesota announced today that the club has officially exercised Addison's fifth-year option, putting him under contract for yet another season. Addison now set to make $18 million guaranteed in the final year of his rookie deal in 2027. Other good news to get to: Alabama secured the number one overall quarterback in the class of 2027 on Saturday, landing a commitment from five-star passer Elijah Haven, 6'5", 220-pound prospect from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, is the number six overall prospect in the new SC Next Junior 300. He announced his commitment to the Crimson Tide over Georgia. That one stings, while hosting a youth camp in Louisiana Saturday afternoon, following Trent Seaborn as the second quarterback to join Alabama coach Kalen DeBoer's latest recruiting class. Elijah Haven, a name to know. Other good news: University of Nebraska Board of Regents on Friday approved a $600 million overhaul of Memorial Stadium. We talked about this plan before it was approved last week. It'll make the 103-year-old venue more fan-friendly and increase revenue potential for the athletic department down in Lincoln. The project will be funded by a mix of $250 million in philanthropic support and $350 million in private bond financing. Completion targeted for the start of the 2028 football season. Let the games begin. Dig the shovel in. It's time to go to work on Memorial Stadium. $600 million stadium plan. Full details, Huskers.com or ESPN.com, where you can find that article. Now, a couple different ways we could go with the bad and ugly here. We'll spend some time first on the Boston Red Sox, who are very bad and very ugly this year. The decision over the weekend to fire manager Alex Cora started with Chief Baseball Officer Craig Breslow. Boston Red Sox President Sam Kennedy passed the buck yesterday. Craig leads our baseball program. He's made several bold decisions and recommendations, and this one was one of them. That's why we took the action we took yesterday. The Red Sox, who are currently in last place in their division, fired Cora and five members of the coaching staff on Saturday following a big win, 17-1 in Baltimore. Chad Tracy, a former major leaguer and manager of Boston's AAA affiliate in Worcester since 2022, was named the interim manager and won his first game on Sunday 5-3. Over Baltimore, Kennedy said the decision to make the move Saturday and that he, Breslow, and owner John Henry flew from Boston to deliver the news after Saturday's win in Baltimore. Kennedy said Henry was part of the meetings on Saturday and Sunday morning, but was not present at the news conference. Craig and I have a job to do, and this is our job. Not everybody is on board with the change. Veteran shortstop Trevor Story, who is not in the starting lineup for Sunday's game against the Orioles, told reporters that the explanation given to players from Breslow about Cora's firing wasn't, quote, satisfactory. This ruffles feathers, and make no mistake about it, even in the NFL, these rarely work out. And these being early to mid-season coaching firings meant to galvanize a roster. Things are bad in Boston. Things aren't going to be figured out for a little while here. Need to make a rock-solid hire. Maybe it ends up being the interim tag gets taken off of Chad Tracy. We don't know the answer there. But rarely do these reactionary early season, something wrong that we don't know about or something wrong that we can see in the record, but maybe not behind the scenes, needs to be cut out of this team and move forward. But Alex Cora, widely respected, going to be dismissed, is dismissed as the manager of the Boston Red Sox over the weekend. Certainly a very ugly situation. But somehow that pales in comparison to our next story. This breaking news just moments ago. A report is out there, a couple different sources. We'll dive into the ESPN article here first. Pro Football Talk, the first place I saw it. But another gambling-related, gambling-infused, bad, ugly storyline has emerged from college football. Texas Tech transfer quarterback, big name quarterback if you follow college football, Brendan Sorsby, one of college football's top returning players, is checking into a residential treatment program for a gambling addiction. The school announced today, this morning. Sorsby's decision to seek treatment, according to sources, came in the wake of the discovery of Sorsby making thousands of online bets on a variety of sports via a gambling app, which jeopardizes his eligibility moving forward with Texas Tech football. The NCAA is investigating Sorsby's gambling, according to sources, as the organization forbids athletes from betting on both college and pro sports. First thing I'll say off the jump here, gambling addiction, just like any addiction, is real. If you need help, seek help. And I firmly and wholeheartedly say that I hope Sorsby gets the help he needs. But that being said, the reason this is bad and ugly is partly individual responsibility of Brendan Sorsby, but it's the ubiquitous nature of gambling, how it is associated with, and some would say woven into, the fabric of American sports and international sports these days. You can bet on anything. You could predict anything with the borderline, completely unregulated prediction market companies that are out there. Sorsby's decision to seek treatment again came in the wake of the discovery of making those thousands of bets. According to sources, Sorsby bet on Indiana football while redshirting for the Hoosiers as a true freshman back in 2022, a season in which he played in a single game as a reserve. The bets back in 2022 were on Indiana to win, and none came in a game in which Sorsby appeared. That's good news, at least, but we'll see what the investigation turns up. It's bad, it's ugly, it's awful right now. With the pressure we have on these young athletes, the accessibility that they have to do things like this, whether it's individually or like we saw with the Iowa State wrap-up a couple of years ago, the ability to
use a mom and dad's account, use a brother's account, use a roommate's account to make some wagers. It is so darn woven in. And all I'm asking for, personal opinion, of course, here, is how about some rules? How about some education, regulation here? Slap on the wrist, post-discovery, the destroying, destructive nature of what we do to people after they get caught doing things like this is fine and dandy. I'm not a fan of absolutely destroying somebody's life over decisions like this, but certainly it's not a good look for the young men involved, the young women involved in some cases too. But generally speaking, this has become all too common. Investigations in the NBA, investigations in Major League Baseball, college football. We've seen it everywhere. It is out of control. And pardon me for saying, maybe some well-defined rules, regulations, bans. This is exactly what is allowed. This is exactly what's not allowed. And maybe we need a nice long look about how woven in we are with the gambling and sports. Because we love our sports. We have faith in them and the teams and the players and the magic and the moments. That it's not a fairy tale. It's not fabricated. It's true. People are out there trying their best. Nobody's mailing it in. Nobody's got a over or under that they need to hit because they owe money to somebody. It just absolutely destroys your confidence in what we love so much. And the integrity of sports is paramount. And the longer we continue to live in reality where we have people that are able to access these things, influence games, allegedly, or perform in a way that could hit a bet, and bring into question, it is crazy where we are right now, uncharted territory continuing. And again, I hate to say it, that's the tip of the iceberg with what we have right now, what we found out right now, and just how ubiquitous these things have become in our society. That's the good, the bad, and the ugly. Tough way to end the show today. Brendan Sorsby, that investigation, full article up right now at ESPN.com. We will take a break. We will say so long. Tomorrow on the program, I promised you people, spring game, spring football recaps are on the way. We got the USF Cougar staff in studio tomorrow, Coach Jim Glagowski, and we'll wait to see who's in tow with him tomorrow in studio. Augustana Viking football spring game recap, preview, captain talk, and more coming up on Friday in studio. Hope you can join us this week. We certainly appreciate it. We'll talk to you tomorrow when overtime rolls back around right here on your Sioux Falls sports leader. It's ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO.